is Coach Paul Westhead. Coach, what's going on first and foremost? How are you?
Hi, D-Lion. How are you?
Doing all right. So I woke up this morning and my Twitter feed tells me that 40 years ago today, you and the Los Angeles Lakers won an NBA championship over the Sixers in the Spectrum, and you were led by a rookie, Magic Johnson. My first question to you is, knowing that you don't have Kareem, who had dominant numbers in that series leading up to that point, and he's sidelined and not even on the trip, when do you say to yourself, I'm going to start Magic at the center position?
Well, it actually happened on the flight from L.A. to Philly. Not by coincidence, Magic sat in Kareem's seat. Kareem always sat in the first row in first class, and I get on the plane, and there's Magic acting like he's Kareem. So that gave me an idea. So during the flight, I talked to Magic. I said, could you play center? He said, oh, yeah, no problem. He said, I played center in high school, and I realized that was like 2 years ago.
Right.
So he was very accommodating and willing, and we had one shoot around, and we ran a couple plays for him as the center. And sure enough, we started the game. In fact, as we were breaking the team huddle for the opening tip, Jim Jones said to me, who was 6'10", said, Coach, I'm jumping, right? I said, no, Magic's jumping. And then after that opening tip, it all fell in place.
Paul, how much, you said you had the one shoot around, but how much did you change what you ran, or was it just little nuances, and it was used, one, because you didn't have Kareem as the center, and two, to maybe throw the Sixers a little off balance by putting him in that position?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't want to take too much credit. We did it as a, I wouldn't say a publicity stunt, but we did it to kind of throw the Sixers off by Magic playing center. And the first two or three possessions down in the beginning of the game, we did put him in the post and throw it into him, and he did make a turnaround skyhook. So I guess symbolically that was one up for us. But the rest of the game, I mean, Magic played guard, forward. He did whatever he did. People said we played small ball. Well, we didn't have Kareem, so we became automatically small. It's just that, you know, we just played free and easy, and we made shots, and we made most of our free throws, of which the Sixers struggled to make. So, you know, many times that decides the game.
Paul, because Magic ends up with the 42, his 15 boards, I think it was 8 assists, Jamal Wilkes' 16 of 30 goes maybe somewhat overlooked, and his 37 points. Were you going in there saying somebody else is also going to have to come through in terms of the scoring aspect of this? Because Kareem was averaging better than 33.
Right, right. Yeah, we knew we were going to have a scoring drought if somebody didn't pick it up. The only thing I can say to you, D, is that halftime, you know, it was a real close game. I think it was 1 or 2 points up or down. I did say to my assistant then, Pat Riley, I said, you know, we got a pretty good chance here because we haven't gotten much scoring from Jamal and from Norm Nixon. So, you know, we might be in pretty good shape. And sure enough, Jamal comes out in the second half, and he was really, other than Magic's spectacular play, Jamal was really the difference in the game.
And you're right, Norm did not have a good shooting game because he finished 1 of 10. But fortunately, you didn't need it.
Right, and we found out, we knew, but we found out later that Norm was playing with a broken index finger.
Ooh.
In his hand. So he never made any excuse, and he played all those minutes. But it's tough to shoot when you got a broken finger.
So, Paul, this morning I was watching the post-game interview that happens in the locker room at the Spectrum. And Rick Barry, I think he's shocked at what he had just seen. And he's also a little surprised at how kind of tranquil the locker room appeared for a team that had just won the NBA championship. And Magic's response was, well, I think we're all a little surprised. Do you remember the locker room and what it felt like? And were you surprised?
Yeah, I absolutely remember the locker room. We walked in the locker room. I had to go out right away for the presentation with Larry O'Brien. Took about 5 minutes. And I came back into the locker room. It was quiet. It was like silence. I mean, it was grinning and laughing, but no celebration, no champagne, no hilarity, nobody jumping up and down and dancing. I think our players were physically and emotionally exhausted, and they just was glad it was over.
Now, let me ask you the mentality, because back then it was before they went to 2-3-2. So you would have had the opportunity, had you not taken care of business in game six, to go back and play game seven on your home court. I know you were 60-22, but was there a major difference of who you guys were, road versus home, that year? And, you know, were you glad that your guys didn't want to just leave it to getting back home?
Yeah, D, you know, I've never been an analytics guy, so I have no idea what our win-loss on the road and home was. But I will tell you this. Most of the people, our fans, our Laker fans, and many of the media were convinced that we were going to return for Game 7. So this was just a routine, like an exercise, or like an exhibition. Go ahead back, play Game 6, and then come on back for Game 7. Kareem might be ready. And then let's get down to winning the championship. I tell you, I brought my wife Kathy with me because I thought we had a chance to win. I just saw a comment today that Jerry Buss told his daughter Jeannie Buss not to come. Now you can figure it out for yourself, but they didn't have a chance to win.
So I'm glad you got to be the right one.
Exactly. So was I, because we found out that night and the next day that there was no way that Kareem was going to play in Game 7. He wouldn't have been able to play for maybe a month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That would be significant. Now, how about the fact that you were playing in your hometown? Now, you're not coaching the home team, but you grew up here. You're a West Catholic guy. How many family folks were in the stands, and did you get any chance to celebrate with them?
Yeah, I did. You know, we had some of my brother and his wife Doris were there, and some of their kids, some of our neighbors, the McDonoughs, who we were friends with for a lifetime, were there. And as usual, when you're the coach's wife, you get a handful of maybe 8, 10, 12 tickets. Kathy gave them all out and found out she only had one ticket left for herself. And she wound up in the hotbed of 76er fans. She didn't say a word the whole game. With about a minute to go, she jumped up when we went up, let's say, 8 or 10. And somebody said, "Who are you?" And she said, "Well, I'm the coach's wife." So uncharacteristic of Philly fans, when we won, about 20 of them stood up and applauded her.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Good sometimes.
Absolutely. Paul, you've had a lot of stops along the way. And I had to tell a caller earlier when I was saying that you were going to come on, I did not know you had also won a WNBA championship. And that was with Phoenix, correct?
Correct. That was with the Phoenix Mercury with Diana Taurasi.
Yep, absolutely. And then I said, and his last stop was University of Oregon. Now, it wasn't, you didn't have Sabrina, but I'm curious if you pay attention to, like, say, because you had been at the University of Oregon and they're having this unbelievable year this year, and you had been there. Do you pay attention just because you once were connected?
Yeah, I mean, I watch the women's game. I'm an NBA, a WNBA fan. I'm a college women's basketball fan, and specifically Oregon, because you know, I have friends and we're still there and administrators, so I think it was a great season for them. It's a shame they couldn't complete it all with an NCAA championship, but wow, what a team they had. And Sabrina, she's about as good as I've seen in a long time in college.
Absolutely. Well, you had Taurasi, so you had one of the best for sure.
Right. Well, the difference now is Sabrina has to now go to the next level and prove it in the WNBA, which
right.
Taurasi has already done.
Yes, exactly. And Paul, how about in terms of the NBA? Do you watch the NBA game still or not as much?
Yeah, not as much, Dee. I mean, I'm out here in Los Angeles, so there's a game a night almost when the league's going between the Clippers and the Lakers. So, yeah, I'm kind of a fan. I still kind of root a little bit for the Sixers. I still like the Portland Trail Blazers because of the Jack Ramsey, Jack McKinney background.
Sure.
I just like individual people. There's nobody better than LeBron right now, even though with all of the hype with Michael Jordan, it's hard to compare the two of them. But LeBron's the best player in basketball today.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Since you brought up his name, have you watched The Last Dance at all? Because it has given us, as basketball fans, at least something to gravitate towards. That is, that, you know, it's a, even though it's going back in time, there's some new stuff there.
Yeah, I mean, I really like it. I mean, I like the film, the clips, you know, some of the spectacular moves. But I like Michael laying out in his lounge chair, puffing his cigar and having a drink and... well, I knew I was going to win that game. Athlete, so relaxed. He's perfectly in control, as he was when he played.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in terms of your family, everybody's good, Paul? Everything's all right out there in Los Angeles?
Everyone's good, Dee. We're staying in the house. Our kids come like every other day with food and they stay down about 20 yards away from our front door, and they sit and chat from their car. And then 2 days later, another family shows up. So it's been fun.
Perfect. Well, tell Cassie I appreciate you and her giving me some of your time here today, because I went through her to track you down.
We go a long way, Dee. I'm always a pleasure to talk to you and your family.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.